Five, four, three, two, one.
Who's the best show here?
Jack Show!
Who's the best show here?
Jack Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza.
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
Showtime!
Were you a naked egg pool young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. But the strongman go direct to DLMTS.org. And I see channels at linuxtech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
Welcome to 929 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy November.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joby.
Hello.
And we have Rich.
From the Hughes Compound Southern Command.
Yeah.
On Note 8.1.
And
since we have him here, we should open up with thoughts on the Pi 0W2. I hardly have any.
All right, so there's a couple of issues to get to, like, in the Pi ecosystem right now. First off, you know, world chip shortage, blah, blah, blah. It means that, like, if you want an 8-gig Raspberry Pi, it's like $150 frickin' dollars, which is just nuts.
Well, because you have to buy the kit.
Well, yeah, I mean, even without the kit, it's almost unobtainable. So the prices are pretty nutso if you want the higher RAM, if you're going to be doing something like ESXi on a Pi. The Pi Zero is cool for a bunch of reasons. I'm kind of surprised they didn't come out with 1 gig on it. So
it's
kind of a reason fest. For that.
Yeah, go for it, Joe.
It does have the faster processor, but because of the format of the Zero, because it's got the newer RAM, it's a lot more difficult to, you know, stack the RAM.
Yeah, I'm not sure what use case it fills. And I'm just talking about that as I'm setting up a Pi Zero W. And my Pi hole went out for whatever reason, and I'm just setting up a new Pi hole. And a Pi Zero is a great use for a Pi hole.
Yeah. And at the price point that it's supposed to be at, especially if you have a micro center near you, and they have any in stock, then it's quite worth it.
Yeah. All right. So there's a couple of things with now. I used to have a beef with the Pi Zero, and I've got a number of both Pi Zeros and Pi Zero Ws like still in the packaging. My beef with the original Pi Zero without Wi-Fi is it took a lot to get it running, and now it doesn't. So a Pi Zero W will just kind of run. So you just need a card and power. So that's just like, you know, a Pi 3, Pi 4. So that's good. So it does make them useful and cheaper, because a Pi Zero without Wi-Fi or Bluetooth on it, you know, the pre-W versions, you almost had to pay just as much to get the damn thing running. So it would be good if you didn't care about it getting connected to a network. You know, it would be some sort of great robotics controller or whatever, you know, some SBC to make a device intelligent. But it wasn't, if you wanted it network connected, it was cheaper to buy like a Pi 3.
Yeah, I do remember that from when the Zero first came out, that the overall cost ended up being the same by the time you got a power supply for it, and then an OTG cable, and then a hub, because you would obviously need more than one thing connected to it. And yeah, got it all hooked up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. It just, you might as well have gotten something bigger.
Yeah. It would, the thing is, like the one use I have here, I run my D-Star DVAP node for ham radio on a Pi Zero W, but it still runs great on that, and I don't really, I mean, I don't know of any benefit I would get by switching to a Zero W 2, mostly because the Zero W also only still has 2 gig Wi-Fi, so if it had 5 gig Wi-Fi, there might be a difference, and if it had more RAM, maybe. About the only thing I'd probably get a benefit from it is when I, like if I shut it down and then restart it, it will do that faster. So,
yeah, the only thing that I would want Pi Zero W 2 for is if I really broke down and decided I wanted to do a handheld project.
Agreed. I mean, if you had something that you were going to do with the Zero W, it's a no-brainer to buy the Zero 2W or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, so portability is a great use case. And, you know, there's...
They kill him? I can't hear anybody.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Now you go. Okay, weird.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I kept saying they got him. They got him. They got him.
Rich is gone again.
They got the Note 8 got him. That was there the you end. There's a goodbye. Yeah. Goodbye.
Yep. Yeah, there he is. Woo, holy cow, what was that?
Yeah, I was updating IP addresses and my router does a reboot on that, unfortunately.
It's just like Dan rebuilding the kernel in early days. But right now, like I said, that's the only thing I have that I use Zero W for is my D-Star gateway. You know, if the new one had 5 gig Wi-Fi, I'd probably definitely go upgrade it. But I'm more excited about what's going to come after the Pi 4.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's an interesting idea. Do you think the next what do you think the next Pi release would be? Like, what haven't they done that they could do, or what could they do better?
The only thing I could think it would
4K.
Do, yeah, well, yeah, but the 4 does 4K well.
It does single output 4K 60 frames a second, right. Dual output 30 frames a second at 4K.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, you know, for me, I'd be looking at. I'd like to see one with 16 gigs of RAM. That would be nice. And I actually wouldn't mind it if they upscaled the board just a hair, you know, maybe make the board like, or do like a max board where it was twice the size and had like twice the amount of stuff on it, you know, but again, not really needed, but that's kind of just me pie in the sky in there, you know, just to make just a slightly bigger, slightly more inputs.
All right. So my big beef with the Pi 4. So here's what kind of the elephant in the room with the Pi 0 and the Pi 4. The Pi 0 has let's see, what size HDMI? It's not the micro, it's the mini. So it has the mini HDMI, which was throwing me a fit today because I couldn't find my adapter. So whereas the Pi 4 has 2 micro. I really wish on the Pi 4 they would go for 2 full-size HDMI. That would just make things so much easier.
If you want to hook it up to a screen, yep.
So here's, I kind of have my guest monitor, and I have a 3-way connector on my guest monitor. So it has 3 HDMI inputs, and I have 1 of every HDMI cable on it. So I have the regular HDMI cable, a mini HDMI cable, and a micro, so I can plug it into anything I need. So I for the four, you know, more memory, more processor is always great. Yep. The only thing they haven't done, like other companies have done, is eMMC. So yeah. eMMC would be cool if they did SATA on board. That would be killer. And a real SATA, not not like hung off the USB bus. So there are a couple of things hardware wise. You know, RAM 8 gig, 16 gig, that's a big deal. But look, most laptops currently only have 16 gig unless you're getting a new Mac, which they have upped. So I believe it or not, I've sworn I couldn't tell you how many shows I've said I'm not getting a new Mac.
You
I'm
ordered never getting one, another Mac. Yeah.
No, I haven't ordered one. But I would consider it. I'm going to be doing consulting again. If I'm going to a client, I want a nicer, newer computer. Because first off, even though I've replaced the battery in my 2012 MacBook Pro, the battery is fairly lame, even though it's a replacement. It just seems like the stock that they have on these things are not too good. You know, when my MacBook Pro was new, the battery would run the computer all day long. It would run at 8 hours. Now I'm lucky to get 2 hours, even though I got a replacement battery in there. And I've had one replaced by Apple, and it was never as good as the original, and I did the replacement myself the last time, which just seemed worse. I don't know if they're just old stock, and they just keep degrading over time.
I don't know. Let's see. Holy cow. Pie Shop US. Oh, wait. Out of stock. Yeah, I think they're out of stock everywhere. The 202Ws.
And I don't think you're going to find any 8 gig Pi 4s that aren't in some $150 kit.
Right. Which actually, I wouldn't mind buying. I would probably take that and hook it up to my TV here in the office. Although I don't know. I doubt I'd run Kodi on it because that's kind of overkill for Kodi. Except for actually, 4K, but you know, yeah.
What would I run?
You know, hey, that's a thank you, Joel. Because I'm like, yep. What would I run on? And I'm like, I could put all my security cameras on a Pi and just play it on a TV. That's a good idea.
Yep. I need to think about adding security cameras. Not that anything bad's happened here yet. It's just, you know, kind of make things better. I do have the doorbell and that works well, and that goes through my security system, but... Well, one thing I'm wondering though, if it would run a Pi, I'd have to look at that. But I picked up two of the new Anker Nano Pro chargers. I didn't intend on it being that way, but I ordered the first one, and it was supposed to come Saturday, all right, and it didn't. But then I look in Amazon, and it says it was delivered. I'm like, okay.
Maybe they delivered it to a wrong house.
I don't know, but
I've had that happen.
I hit them up and said, "Hey, what's the deal? Why?" And this comes from them actually.
They usually have a photo. Don't they take a photo when they deliver something?
That's the thing is I've had several more since I moved than since before, but like the last two or three things I got from Amazon came from either USPS or UPS, not the Amazon truck.
Oh, okay.
The Amazon truck has come here. So I'm still trying to figure that out because you got to remember where I live is not even on Google Maps yet. It is in Waze. It's in Apple Maps, too, of all things. But it's not in OpenStreetMap yet either. So I go to Amazon. I was chatting using the Amazon's chat, and he says, "Oh, we're sorry. We'll go ahead and refund that for you." Okay. So they did that, and I bought the second one. Monday, the first one came, and Tuesday, the second one came. But these are very similar to the Nano Anchor Nano chargers, but beefier, more wattage. They do have one that's even higher wattage than this one, but this one is, I think it's 20 watts. So I have to look and see if it would actually provide enough current for Pi 4. I bet you it probably would, but so far as how does it charge my phone, it's just every bit as good as the stock charger that my Samsung came with. So if you buying a new Samsung, like we unfortunately had to buy my son a Samsung S21. We bought him the S21 Ultra, I should say, because his he dropped and shattered the screen. So it's either wait for a replacement to come from Asurion, or just go get a new phone because his phone was up for replacement. So that's what we did.
It didn't have to be the 21 Ultra.
No, but that's what he liked. So.
Well, yeah.
Right.
It's also a $2,000 phone, isn't it?
No, it's not that expensive. Not now. It might have been, but considering
that
we're
in a jitterbug. Say, hey, maybe. Jack, you drop your phone, this is what you get. Jitterbug.
Yeah, I know better than to do that with my son. But, and I ask him, well, how does he like it? It works. It's better than my old phone. I'm like, okay. But I'm more anxious with the cameras on that one. But, you know, whatever.
So one question. Did you have to send it in for the replacement?
No.
So are you going to replace the screen yourself? Try your hand
at
that?
On his S10, we could. But
well, hold on a second. If you still have the phone, shouldn't you just send it in for replacement? Because it's covered, right?
Ding, ding.
But it also costs there's a copay on that, which is like $150. And it's like,
$150?
Yeah.
How much is that phone worth?
At this point, the S10 is probably not as much. Yeah. I mean,
oh,
that's the thing. Yeah, so.
I gotta love it, right? You gotta love it.
Yeah, well, you know. But, you know, I'm debating here. I still owe on mine, and I do kind of want to upgrade. And the S22 Ultra is basically supposed to be the Note replacement. And it comes with a stylus to the S Pen, too. So.
And I just got the Note 20 Ultra, and I kind of feel stupid about that.
Oops.
And I hate to say it, it's not. It's not like, oh my gosh, it's so much better than the Note 8 I have. It's okay.
Yep. Well, I'm looking at either the S22 Ultra or the Pixel 6 Pro, I should say. Because the cameras on that thing look, phenomenal. The only thing I'm not too keen on with the Pixel 6s is the camera hump on the back. I mean, it's not just
well,
a
once
bump,
you put
it's a
case
a
on it.
Well, yeah, yes.
But that's the same thing with the Note 20 Ultra. It's got that stupid. But the second you put a case on it, it's flat. So
right. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Plus, I haven't actually got the hold one yet. So we'll see. I don't know, but I just like the idea that Google's got their own chip in it, their Tensor chip, which I believe you have on a USB stick. So
you were talking about that last show.
Is it exactly the same chip? I bet you it's probably not exactly the same chip, but
I really don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say, and if I get a Pixel 6, I'm not going to take the phone apart to try to figure it out. But
I'm sure somebody's going to do a teardown video.
Well, iFixit will probably have one, or Jerry Rig Everything will probably have one too. By the way, that's a great channel too, Jerry Rig Everything.
Hummer coming?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't watched him recently, but he'll do teardowns of the phone first, and if he doesn't destroy it in the teardown, he'll do a what will it take to destroy the phone one.
I guess I'd like to have his money then.
I know, right? Well, that's the thing I'm trying to figure out here too, is how like some of these YouTubers make money. Like, have you ever, especially the like the influencer girl ones, you know, like Christina Khalil, who has this huge like house she bought in Pennsylvania.
I'm just gonna do a gay makeup channel and see
in a C8 Corvette. It's like, yeah, and it's like, yeah, she's like my son's age. It's like,
good for her. You know what? God bless everybody.
Well, no, actually, she has an OnlyFans, so you know what she does on that one. But but it's just
I don't know.
Well, you can check it out, Ridge. I'm not paying for that stuff, but but. It's just how some of these, especially now, now since Adpocalypse has happened, I just wonder how some people make as much as they do. You know, I'm sure your gun stuff doesn't make that much on YouTube now.
No. I'm hitting YouTube hard, and you know, there's some cross pollination between, you know, tech and firearms and stuff like that I do.
Right.
But I might pull down $60 a month on YouTube, so that's, you know, I wouldn't be paying myself more than $1 an hour.
But then you're streaming a whole lot more than me too. So
yeah. I mean, I do at least 4 hours of YouTube a week, you know, live. So
yeah,
that's if let's just say I do 16 hours of YouTube a month, which is low. Right. You know, $60, I'm getting $4 an hour for that. So I might as well be selling hot dogs on the corner or shoveling horse stools.
Mm-hmm. But then generally, what I do post on my channel, I do it for fun anyway. So I don't really care if I make money.
You know, that's the big part of it. As long as you're having fun. And then the other part of it is, if you're not making money from YouTube, maybe you get sponsors or so, you know, to pimp their products.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff like that. You know, some companies have sent me some things, you know, just because I'll mention their product. So that's kind of nice.
Right. Ooh, Canakit has the Pi 02W basic kit for $32.
Oof.
And the max kit for $54.
Ouch. Will they give you aloe with that burn?
I need to see. Okay, yeah, here's the starter kit.
And with that, guys, I'm jumping off. Gotta go.
Have fun. Starter kit has the board, 32 gig micro SD card, a 2.5 amp power supply, a heat sink, premium black high gloss Pi Zero case, USB OTG cable, and a mini HDMI adapter. The deluxe kit has the board, 64 gig Samsung Evo micro SD, 2.5 amp power supply, self cooling, whatever that is, an aluminum Pi Zero case, a USB OTG cable, and a mini HDMI adapter. Really, the only difference between the Max and the starter seems to be the case. By the looks of it, for me, the case looks kind of looks like one of those Arctic, Argon 1 cases. It looks similar to that, so it might have the heatsink built in the case. So, you know, I'd probably go for the other one. It's a little bit cheaper, or just the board itself, because I technically have a case already.
What's the price difference again?
The basic kit is, and that's, these are the only things that are sent stock, is the basic kit is $32.95 and the starter max is
$54.95. Oh.
On Canakit.
Okay.
I'll drop that into the mumble chat.
Canakit. There we go.
So I kind of like the looks of the Max case, but 64 gig is going to be overkill for what I need on the Pi.
I still got a couple of zero W's sitting around doing nothing, so zero W2's not going on my list anytime soon.
Yep. Well, that's one of those things where you want to get like a small LCD and control boards and make a little handheld.
Yeah.
There's your idea for your son for Christmas, dude.
I destroyed the last one. Kept getting in trouble with it. And now he's got a PSP.
Uh-huh. Now, this is the thing I'm still trying to figure out, because I've heard my brother complain about certain things around his house and stuff. But we were down at the funeral, and we stopped in, like, I had to go to Walmart because I forgot my belt. And so I need to buy a belt, and I need to get a shirt, because the shirt I brought with me, I took it out of my bag, and like, I just noticed that there's a coffee stain on it that somehow I missed when I washed it the last time. So it's pretty much ruined, that shirt. But so I had to get a shirt too. And we're walking around Walmart, and we stopped by the video game department, and they still had a Nintendo Switch OLED sitting in the case there, and so my brother bought it. And I'm still trying to figure out why he did, because he already had the regular Switch. I guess the OLED is a nicer screen, has better blacks and stuff like that. But I think it's slightly faster too. But
was he blown away?
I don't know. He didn't have any his games with him, so all he could do is basically do the setup.
What, you can't download games onto it?
You can. You know, that's what I asked him. I said, can't you just download? Well, actually, where we were, the hotel probably wasn't the case, because I think he ended up having to turn on his phone's hotspot to finish updating the firmware on it. Because the hotel has one of those, you know, little gate things on it, so you have to put your room number and stuff in it so that you get on the Wi-Fi. But the one thing I noticed, it was a Holiday Inn Express we stayed at. The one thing I noticed is they kept kicking us off, like, multiple times in a day. You know, sometimes multiple times within an hour. You know, all of a sudden, you'd have to go hit the page again. It's like, come on. I didn't see if they had a wire in there, and I wouldn't have brought a router with me anyway. But
you don't take a portable router with you everywhere when you go traveling?
No, because I usually don't have to worry about it.
If that's just me.
Yeah, I probably could. I do it.
No, see, I do it because I have it set up to have the same ID and password as the one at home.
Right.
So I hook it up wherever we go, and the kids have internet.
Right. Well,
and then I have to go machine to machine. And...
Right. The other thing they had that was kind of interesting was the room's TV. You could cast right to it, so it had a Chromecast on the TV, which is pretty interesting. But it sometimes randomly wouldn't work, though.
So. Sounds like Chromecast.
Well, I never have a problem with Chromecast usually, but but what I often found was my iPad could connect to it when my phone couldn't. So I think part of the problem is so many of those, because every room had one. So, you know, when I fire it up on my phone and I hit the Chromecast button, I could see every hotel room.
Right.
So it's like, yeah. But a lot of times I couldn't see my room. If I could see it, like if I can go in, hit the Chromecast button, and I could see the room, I generally could cast to it. So... But, you know, I wasn't really there to sit in the room and watch TV too much, so it didn't really bother me that much. Although what did bother me is I didn't take a few minutes to fly the drone up in West Virginia and Virginia as I was heading back, because whew, was it pretty. It was pretty nice with the fall color and stuff, but... and it got me a Reuben when I was there. We had a dinner at a restaurant while we were there, and it's a place called I don't know if you've ever heard of them, Dan McAdoo's or Macados or MACADO. I don't know.
No, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it might be a chain in Roanoke area. But I had a Reuben. It was fantastic. It was really good because I like corned beef and sauerkraut.
So they're on the western side of Virginia, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, I never heard of them.
Yep.
Is it a chain?
I think it is, but lots of sandwiches, I forget the name of it because a lot of their sandwiches had like kitschy names, but the one my brother got had corned beef, pastrami, salami, and instead of sauerkraut, it had coleslaw on it. And it was freaking huge. And then my poor second cousin, Amy, my cousin's daughter, I think she ordered some sort of sub, but they cut them in half, right? Well, the sub halves were kind of rolling around. So when the waitress brought her sandwich, like in the process of her bringing the sandwich to the table, half the sandwich rolled off onto the floor. All right. So she went to go fix the waitress went to go fix that, and instead of just I guess you probably couldn't order just a half a sandwich, so they made her a whole other sandwich, so she had one and a half subs to try and eat. It was super huge, but it was a good time when we all got to kind of reminisce and talk about the past, and I found some pictures of my cousin Kathy, when she was probably, I would say between 17 and early 20s, she's 62 now. And if you are the type, pray or keep her in your thoughts a little bit. Cause I knew she had MS, but I just didn't know how much it's progressed. And she's in a wheelchair the rest of her life at this point.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But it's fortunate though she has her daughter and her son are in their 20s, 20 something. In fact, her son Gage is 29, which I'm like, how did that happen? But because it had been 20 years since I've been to Roanoke. In fact, it was 3 months before I got married when that happened. Misty went with me. Because my cousin Cindy, she got married in March, and then we got married in June, in this same year. And unfortunately for my cousin Cindy, she's divorced now. So, but it happens. But it was a good time, and it was interesting to see what kind of tech was around there. And now that we have them in here, the hotel was right across the street from Machete's, and of course, you know what I had to eat on the way back. I got me a sub at Sheets.
Oh, I've never been a big fan of Sheets. I've never tried their subs,
right?
But I've had like their burgers and other sandwiches, and they never sat well with me.
Interesting. Well, subs are very similar to what you do at
Wawa.
Yeah, it's very similar. You walk up to the machine. You
punch it
pick
in.
All the stuff on you, and then you get the little slip. You can take the slip up while you're waiting for the sandwich. You can take the slip and whatever else you're buying with it up to the counter, pay for it, and then when your sandwich is ready, you just pick it up and give them the slip and take off. But and it kept. I got I think it was an Italian, but I had them put it on a pretzel bun. Man, that was good. But I ate both halves, but spaced out. Like I actually stopped for a pee break, plus to stop finding an ATM because you had to drive the whole West Virginia Turnpike between here and there. And so I needed some cash because you had to stop every... God, it seemed like every 20 or 30 miles you had to stop and throw money in at the toll booth. $4 each time. So price-wise, it wasn't horrible, but...
Damn.
I skipped stopping at my favorite breakfast place in West Virginia. Tudor's Biscuit World. Now, Tudor's Biscuit World.
Well, is that just like biscuit?
Biscuits and breakfast stuff. So they like have like biscuit sandwich. Like the sandwich I get there is usually called the Duke, which has bacon, egg, cheese, and a hash brown on a biscuit.
I take it it's just like good. Biscuitville. That's the place I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, probably my family goes ape shit over Biscuitville. I don't give a damn. I'm like, really?
Dad's like, that's too many carbs.
It's just like, it's all right. Or
actually, Dan's probably like, I can make this shit home.
Yeah, well, I think what like knocked their socks off is we went there like, you know, about an hour before they were closing, and we ordered some stuff there, and then they just threw a whole bunch of extra stuff in there. But that place is only open till like 12, 1 o'clock or something like that in the afternoon. So
yeah,
and the closest one is down in North Carolina. And by the time that, like, when we go to visit my mother-in-law, by the time we get into that area, either we've already eaten or it's too late. It's close. Yeah. To which I say, thank goodness, because I don't want to go there anyway.
You're like, you'd rather have some real food. Get you a steak or something.
Now, one of the things that I found interesting when they start heading down to those out-of-the-way places right off the highway, you stop at a kind of mom-and-pop gas station / convenience store.
Yeah.
A lot of times you go in there, they have these games in there where it's essentially gambling. But oh, yeah. They're not necessarily slot machines. Like, you earn points on them, and then you get tickets, and you take it up to the cash register, and maybe they exchange it for money. I don't know. But they always have a sign that says minors aren't allowed to play the game. And so I don't know how that works. Yeah, I don't know how it works, but they that's why I assume how it works.
Here, when you're talking about it, I was thinking you're talking about claw machines. It's like
No, not claw machines. These are so the one of them that I remember is it's just like a game that's in Chuck E. Cheese, and it's this table. It's about the size of a pool table. It's about the size of a pool table, but around the table you have joysticks and a button, and it's this underwater scene, and each joystick controls a harpoon, to which you fire the harpoon at the fish that are swimming by. And so, you know, the bigger the fish, the harder it is to bring in. And so if you want to get like the biggest fish and the most point fish in the water, they're usually in the middle, whereas on the outside you have the smaller ones, so they're swimming back and forth, and you have to time it just right to shoot the harpoon to bring in the bigger fish. And I think also there's might be some other obstacles in there that if you harpoon it and start bringing in, something could come and cut your line, and you have to be careful with that. I don't know, but I know that was one of them. And of course, when you look at that, you go in there and you got a little kid with you. They're like, oh, I want to play that. That looks fun. And they want to go over there and touch the joystick and look at it. And then the people in there, they're like, no, you can't. That's for a grown-ups. And then you can get yourself their homemade fried chicken right there, or a samosa, and it's in that like kind of cloudy looking display window.
Right.
That's been there forever. Little on the grungy side, but not necessarily dirty. Have you ever been in a 7-Eleven that wasn't kind of dirty looking?
Yeah, the one I was in, I went to one in Maitland, Florida. That wasn't too bad.
Like, all the 7-Elevens I've ever been in, they're not like dirty, but they have that like grimy 7-Eleven look, like a little grayish. Even the ones, like, they've really tried and class them up. You've probably seen the 7-Elevens in Williamsburg, right?
Yep.
They don't look like 7-Elevens. They're in like that brick structure, and it's part of that like style that they have there, like most of them. I don't, maybe there is one that is like a traditional looking 7-Eleven, but a lot of them, like there and down in Virginia, like Chesapeake, there's certain like strip mall type places where they all kind of have like a brick fancy kind of look to them, and it's a 7-Eleven stuck in there too. Makes it look classy, and you walk inside, it still looks like a traditional grimy looking 7-Eleven. You can paint that pig, but still a pig.
Well, the one thing that my brother and my sister-in-law, his wife, well, they go like to go for is boiled peanuts, and I'm like, ugh, that doesn't even sound good to me.
Yeah. So, speaking of low carb, Joe, you'll like this, right? I have further embarked on my soda making quest, and I have 7.5 bottles of root beer upstairs. I kind of cheaped out on it for the first go around. I got some root beer extract instead of getting the different stuff, and you know, sarsaparilla is really not the kind of thing to get there. It's kind of dangerous, and you can't even get it in the United States in most places. But there's other barks and extracts and stuff that you could use. But I did get the I just wanted to try it and see what it would be like. Zatarain's root beer extract. So what did I do? I used in a 3.5, so it's 3¾ quarts, almost 4 gallons, spring water with 2 cups of sugar in it. That's for the low carb, and 2 tablespoons of the extract, and then or 2 teaspoons and a teaspoon of ale yeast. And so now I did that yesterday, and now it's bottled. It's getting carbonated, baby. I think the next one I'm going to try is just a vanilla one.
Good? Have you tried it?
I've tasted it, and it tastes pretty good, but I haven't like actually had a glass of it yet because I'm waiting for it to get carbonated, and it's almost there. Mm-hmm. Now, my concern is, and this is what I learned from the ginger bug, is that I have to be careful, because when you put the yeast in there, and if you don't drink it within a certain period of time, that could start getting a little bit of alcohol and give you a buzz when you don't expect it.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I've ended up like having a ginger bug for lunch, an orange ginger bug for lunch, or pineapple ginger bug, which I really love, both of those. But you let it go a little too long, and it goes over the edge, and the next thing you know, you're ready to take a nap afterwards. So,
yeah. Because it becomes boozy, right?
Yeah. Now, I really like to make some birch beer, but pretty much everything I see about making birch beer at home is like, start off with going out and clipping 3.5 quarts of birch saplings.
Trimmings, yeah.
That's birch trimmings. And I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to find birch trees around here. And the wife's like, yeah, you also have to be careful not to piss off the forestry if you're trying to get it around here. So, but if I was up in Pennsylvania, there's birch trees all over the place up there.
Yeah, that's why you can buy it there.
Yeah, so.
I'm gonna end up breaking down and ordering some from Amazon, but it's god-awful expensive to do it that way. But I love birch beer. It's one of my favorite drinks, and my mom used to drink it all the time, too. But down at the pumpkin show, I was able to get some.
Some what, birch beer?
Yes, sir. Pennsylvania Dutch birch beer.
Birch beer to go along with your dill dogs.
Yeah, did you dip your dill dog into birch beer?
Actually, the booth that sold the birch beer also had, pretzels. Because Pennsylvania was pretty well known for their soft pretzels, too, I think. Especially in the Philly area.
What the... Wait, soft pretzels and birch beer?
Yeah, that's what they sold.
Oh, I thought you meant dipped in birch beer.
No, not well. I guess you could do that, but I don't know how well that would work.
I mean, it tastes great. I don't think you just end up with a soggy pretzel.
I was gonna say I just slap some plain old yellow mustard on top of my soft pretzel because that's what we do in Pennsylvania. Don't put ketchup on it or freaking nacho cheese.
Although the nacho cheese is
pretty good. Yeah.
I
always put mustard on it.
I've never really done ketchup on a pretzel, but...
No, that would be weird.
Mustard, absolutely. And
yep.
I mean, I wouldn't shy away from a little nacho cheese on with a pretzel sometimes. Or beer mustard. Oh, beer mustard is so good.
There you go.
You got a German pretzel with some beer mustard. Mm.
Or even just like
or some... sausage mustard.
I was going to say like a coarse mustard, you know, like a...
Stone ground. Still has
the seeds in it. Yeah, stone ground. Mm. Mustard is delicious.
Spread that on the dill dog.
I actually did have a little bit of it on there. Just plain old yellow French's, probably, I think is what it was.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean that's there's a place. One thing I might try before I go, and if I have time this weekend, I might try to run out there. In Johnstown, Ohio, which is not that far from here, there's a store there called, I can't remember what it's called. It's, they're known for having like Pennsylvania Dutch kind of things. So like they may have like a shoe fly pie or something, you know, or, pickled salad, I think called chow chow, if I remember it right.
Well, yeah, there's chow chow.
They call it chicken pot pie, but it's basically chicken soup with huge ass noodles in it. Those are things I grew up with, man, because I was in Eastern Pennsylvania for most of my childhood. My youth, I should say. Childhood, I was in Western Pennsylvania and Ohio because we lived in Athens at the time.
Yeah, I don't dislike it, but when I think of chicken pot pie, I always think of like,
yes,
here's a pie crust with that style, as opposed to the really thick pot pie noodles.
I had not chicken pot pie, but a chicken pie for dinner tonight. I found this at Meijer. It's basically just a pie crust with chicken and gravy in it. No veggies, which is weird, but it tasted good. And they the same company. I'm trying to think. I think the name is Centerville. I can't remember, but it's like they say they're handmade and frozen, but you know, I'm like, okay, that doesn't Handmade and Frozen usually doesn't happen in the same sentence. But it was pretty good. That's why I tell people, if your parents are still around, and I know yours aren't anymore, Dan, but if they are, make sure you get the recipes from your mom or even your dad of things they make, because there's certain recipes my mom would make I'd love to have again, and I can't even try it because I have no idea what to do. Like, my mom would make a homemade chicken pot pie with celery seeds in the crust. Oh, it's delicious. But I don't know where that recipe is, and I don't think my dad does either.
I will say this. I love my mom, and she was really great at a lot of things, but cooking wasn't one of them.
Okay, I was very blessed then.
Yes, so
my mom was good cook.
Now, my mother-in-law, fantastic cook, but my mom, no. It wasn't in her wheelhouse.
So how did you get to be so big, Dan?
No, I had my mother-in-law for that.
I was going to say McDonald's.
McDonald's. And a McRib.
Hey, don't feel bad. My mom can't cook.
Well, neither can my son's. Well, she can if she wants. My wife can cook and has cooked, but...
Yum, yum, yum. Well, just some things. Still haven't had a resolution yet to my tech support issue, so we're heading into... but I think they're really taking it seriously now, because they keep telling me our engineers are digging into this and trying to figure out what the problem is. So I'm cool on that. I did use the Rocket Notebook this week. I wrote some numbers on it, and then I later on removed those numbers and used it as a temporary scratch pad. I got to get more practicing, not just using it, taking notes like that, because I gotten so used to, if I need to write something down in Scratch, I'll do it on like some computer text screen or something, and right. Do it like that. But yeah, so it's been getting back into some Docker stuff at work, because we got new applications coming along. And I've been happy to be going hands-on with that and GitHub Actions again. So all that excitement.
Now, the worst thing that could happen this week during Diwali, at the end of the day, the boss sends out an email. We got a meeting sometime tomorrow, which I'll try to attend since I'm on call. I don't know if I can, but brought out a like an emergency patch for all of our clients, and I'm like, great.
Oh, so is that put an awful lot more work on you?
Maybe not. Normally it would go on to a lot of it, especially the prod ones, would go on to the Bangalore, because they're the ones that work in the prod outages. But I'll probably have to do May have to do some installation, but thankfully we're our team's growing, so we've got a lot of new admins now. So I've been like I have my whole coworkers been tagging along with me today through my on call, so which is good. We had kind of two extended calls today. One-to-one, really, they were probably longer because he's there and asking questions, because that's usually what happens when somebody's shadowing you. But we got them taken care of. Like the last one, somebody in one of our clients, they submitted like they had at least 10 sessions, and each session was running some sort of export or something that each – the process by itself was eating 13% of the CPU, and they had like 10 of those running. So there goes your CPU. They put a chicken and egg. It's unusable. I'm like, okay. And then we went in there and we saw that. Not to mention the fact it was in one of their transition documents where our transition guy, who's now my manager, told them that they're not supposed to be using that login. So I think one of the things we're going to probably look at doing eventually is killing it. So as in making it so they can't use it anymore. But anyway, I'm like, go in and I kill those processes, and hey, what do you know? The server's responsive again. But yeah, so it's stuff like that. And so from my standpoint, yeah, I'll probably end up having to do one or two. It's like we're estimating that next year we're going to get another 40 clients. So that will push us over 100. Which is crazy, but I'm really tempted by this crow pie I'm seeing.
What's a crow pie?
Have you seen it yet, Joe? I'll put it in the mumble chat.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's essentially a case with the Raspberry Pi in it, an LCD, and a whole bunch of electronics. Like, looks like an LED matrix, 4-7 segment displays, and looks like it's got a barometric pressure sensor on it.
Two kits on this, one of them $369, one of them $235.
Right, the $235 is the one without the Pi.
So they're pricing the Pi at like $134.
Yeah. Would not doubt it.
Doesn't even specifically say which Pi.
Pi 4B.
Right. 4 gig, 8 gig, gig.
Let me see. So the one with the Pi included. Interesting. I have to drill down further.
I'm not seeing where it says it anywhere on the page. Of course, Amazon is selling the 4 gig Pi for like $102.
Right. I have to look and see if they have a manufacturer's link. Wait, up, here we go. 2 gig, it's a 2 gig 4x4.
So a 2 gig Pi 4 for $134.
Yep.
Seems very good.
Probably not, but then you get all this stuff with it too, so.
Yeah.
Price-wise, it's not too bad. Yeah, 2 gig DDR4, 1.5 ARM Cortex A5. Is that the Pi 5 or 4?
I'm not sure.
I'm switching.
But with a description like that, they'll never get that many sales. Yeah, you scroll down further. The Crow Pi Advanced version comes with the Raspberry Pi 4 2 GB Model B and can work with the 3, 3B, 3B Plus, 2,
right.
And more.
Yep. It's via Elecro. Actually have the website, their own website too. go direct to Elecro. You can get the one with a an 8 gig Pi 4 for $359. Isn't don't buy it on Amazon. It's actually, for once, it's actually overpriced on Amazon.
Most things are overpriced on Amazon. Paying for the convenience.
Well,
yeah, not as good
some
as
is. Some mm-hmm. is. Memory cards are still decent on Amazon. Definitely better than Micro Center. The upside of Micro Center is there's one local to me, so I can get it quicker.
Yeah.
Poor Dan doesn't have that down there.
We have a crap.
Yeah, I'll say it's probably a good thing for Dan, though.
What were you saying there, Pat?
We don't get them up here either.
Yeah,
Right.
I don't think there's been like a computer.
CompUSA that we used to have, and they went out of business.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the stores didn't.
Anything around here ever. To my knowledge, we had nothing. No CompUSAs, no Micro Centers.
CompUSA actually exists as a web presence only. A web store.
Closest we ever got was like Staples. Or what was the other place? Office Max.
Hey, I bought a lot of my first time ever purchases at a Staples. I bought like probably my first trackball, back when mice were relatively new. You know, we're talking about early 90s, okay? Even then, they were technically new, but but I bought like a Mouse Systems trackball instead of a mouse. And it was cereal.
We did have, I don't know if you were around there for this, Pat. There was in Grape Street, not Grape Street, MacArthur Avenue.
There was a
Micro Center, I think it was called out there. Yeah, wasn't
there's,
it?
There's a local place. There's a Chinese dude who had a shop there. I don't know if he's still around.
And that closed down like back in, I think, before 2000 or like right after 2000, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
And there's a couple of places over here, local shops. There's one in Easton that's been there forever.
Uh-huh.
They build computers, gaming systems and stuff, but they also do like electronics repair on Third Street right near the circle. Those guys have been there forever. And then on 25th Street, there's another guy, but that guy Zeus is on 25th Street over in Palmer. He never has anything. I've called him like when I was looking for a power supply, and he didn't have anything. And the guy at the other place had it. He's like, "Yeah, come by."
Yep. Well, did you guys ever have a? Were you lucky to enough to have an Incredible Universe when they existed?
I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, that was, in case you don't know what it was. Tandy Corporation, who used to own Radio Shack. I actually think they might. I don't know if Radio Shack exists much anymore. Some places have them. But Tandy Corporation, they did a kind of a combination. They basically did their version of a Best Buy. All right. And they tried to make it kind of similar to how you do like a. Best I can describe it is like a Fry's or a, like if you took IKEA and instead of selling furniture, you sold electronics and appliances. So they had like refrigerators and microwaves and stuff. And that also happens to be where I went and bought probably the only version of Windows I actually ever bought, which is Windows 95. During the Windows 95 launch. But it wasn't long after that they closed. But when I bought Windows 95, there one of the neat freebies that came in that I picked up was they had an RC car from Windows 95. It had Microsoft logos all over it. Yeah, no, I don't have it anymore. I got rid of it. Just like I got rid of Windows 95. Yeah, for me, my Linux use kind of started a little bit right around the time of Windows 98. Because I didn't want to buy Windows anymore.
Whoever did, right?
Right. Well, you don't even have to buy Windows 11 now. If you've got a Windows key, you can upgrade to it. And then you can run into the problem I had. The snipping tool doesn't work on my Surface Pro. It's broken. And the fix that Microsoft issued for it was to refresh your Windows install, which means basically kind of a fresh install, but keeping your data. Okay, so like your applications would be blown away. But your data, like your pictures and stuff, would still be there. You know, but then I'd have to spend a little bit of time setting everything back up. You know, like putting Creative Cloud on it and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, for losing the snipping tool for a little bit, I could accept that because I can always bring some other tools up and do snapshots that way.
Ay, ay, ay. The good old days, huh?
Yep.
I got Android 12 yesterday. No, a couple days ago.
Wait, what phone do you have now?
I had the Pixel 4a.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, finally got an Android 12. Came down to me.
Looks pretty different, I think.
Yeah, there's some significant changes in how it looks and style and everything.
I heard the battery life is worse.
I haven't noticed. You know what? I haven't had much time, Joe. I said I got it like 2 days ago. Let me find out. But I don't know, honestly. I haven't seen an issue with the battery yet, but 2 days isn't really enough time to quantify that. I mean... Well, I'll be interested. It comes on, and they say, "Oh, now you can customize to have a theme to match your background and everything." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll check it out." And they're like, "Yes, you can have a blue theme, a red theme, a green theme, and some other theme." Like, and I'm like,
"I thought
it's all right."
I was gonna say, didn't it just pick a color out of like your background wallpaper or something?
Yeah, I guess. I didn't even, like, really, I couldn't tell, like, it looked any different. So I tried just making a color. And I can change it every so often. We'll see. I don't think you were here last week, Joe, but Joel was here last week. I did get resolution to the Runkeeper thing so far. Is it? I had to turn off the countdown timer too, and that seemed to work. But
that's weird.
Yeah, I know it is really weird. But they're working on a fix from what their support email told me. But it's just really weird.
Really interesting.
I wish the what is it called? The Google, the Magic Eraser would be available for other phones, because that looks
cool. Oh, yeah, cool. I know.
I
know, man.
But
that's kind of, that might be what pushes me towards that. There really might be.
It looks cool, but I don't know. The price on that phone is I could live without the Magic Eraser.
Well, YouTube has been, I don't know how much you guys are aware, but YouTube's been putting out a lot of free movies and free content and stuff. You know, in by movies, I'm talking about real movies.
Yeah, with ads.
Yeah, yep. With ads, yeah, and sometimes censored too, depending on the movie. But they had, I just saw it here, Buckaroo Banzai is on there.
Which is cool.
Wait, what's got the movies?
YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Oh.
Great with ads.
What if you have
ad blocker still works on it?
No, not ad blocker. What if the premium YouTube premium?
I have YouTube premium, yeah.
It still has ads?
I'm trying to think, what did I watch the other day that UHF. I watched UHF the other day. That's free right now too.
But did it have ads?
And there was no, and it didn't have ads. No, because I got YouTube Premium. Battle Beyond the Stars, Meatballs,
the Hackers. Finest of 1980s B movies, huh?
Yeah, UHF was pretty dang funny.
Well, UHF aside,
that was 90s, right?
No, that was 80s.
It was late 80s. That's right. In Time, The Last Legion.
What's that, Joe?
It was like a C movie, though, wasn't it?
What, UHF?
Yeah.
Man, that was an all-star Rockefeller movie, baby.
Well, it had Michael Richards in it. He's the guy who played Stanley Spadowski. The blonde one from SNL from the
Victoria 80s. Jackson.
Thank you. That's right. I don't know why I wanted to call her Cherry O'Terry. Gede Watanabe, who played Cooney, the guy who did Wheel of Fish. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Fran Drescher was in it.
Yes, she was.
Emo Phillips.
Yep. But there, yeah, every once in a while you want to take a look at what's free because they change it up quite a bit. And there's also some good paid stuff on there too, but and unfortunately, for Trick or Treat, we had nobody. Unfortunately, not one person.
You, how many people live in your neighborhood? How many houses exist in your neighborhood?
I'd say probably about 20 or so.
20?
Yeah.
And they're all old people like you, right? So they don't have kids that go around trick or treating.
No, there's a family that has at least 5 in one house. So.
Were you going to hand candy out? Did you have candy to hand out? And then you just...
I did.
And you, now did. You ate it yourself, right?
No, actually, I gave the rest of it to my church.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. We didn't have a...
We had shitty weather.
We had good weather. We didn't have a stellar turnout here. For some reason, while the main street has a pretty good turnout, nobody decides to come off the main street up onto our street, which is kind of
pretty sad.
Yeah, but you know, we went around, the kids had a good time, and then we did a fire pit afterwards. That was
I need to work on getting a fire pit, but oh, remember I talked about smoking Chex Mix on my pellet grill? I've done it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty tasty.
Oh man!
I think the next time I do it, I might do it a little bit longer than I would normally do Chex Mix, just to get a little bit more of the smoke flavor, and then I might also load up the smoke tube with some pellets to help increase that. There was a smoke flavor, but it wasn't very strong.
Okay,
it was very light, but it would, yeah, I can definitely tell the difference. So, I mean, But yeah, it's definitely worth trying it. And what I might try doing it with different recipes of that, like maybe the hot one, you know, the spicy one. Right. That would be good.
Not the chocolate Muddy Buddy one. That would probably turn out pretty gross. Bad.
I would think so, yeah. But yeah, I'm due to fire that up again. I haven't done a cook on it in a couple weeks. Although before I do my next cook, I'm gonna take the little portable shop vac out and suck out all the ashes and stuff and clean up the grates and stuff a little bit. I mean, I usually do like even if I do something at a lower temperature, I'll take that sucker and crank it up to about 450 to help burn off some of the stuff stuck on the grill, you know.
All right, guys, I'm gonna get going.
All right, yep. Joe.
Talk to y'all later.
Yep, it's almost 10 o'clock anyway, so.
Yeah. Pat's gone too.
Yep. So let's see. I'm trying to think, we got Thanksgiving's on the 25th.
I'm not cooking for Thanksgiving this year. We're going to visit my mother-in-law.
Damn.
Well, so someone else is cooking for me.
I am cooking. Probably going to have the in-laws over. So the 24th, I don't know if we'll have a show or not. We can. I don't mind it.
Wait, that's you talking about November 24th?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here. We'll probably cancel the show that week. And I won't have a good enough. I won't have a good enough connection.
Right. Yeah, because I'll probably be doing some pies that day too, anyway, since I actually took off that week. So, Christmas time.
I won't be doing
time.
A damn thing. Nobody else will be doing it.
Christmas, I'm going to be down there for a short time. I'm off. Like, it's one of those situations where the wife didn't tell me till like a month after I put my request in for vacation. She didn't tell me. She thinks she did, but she didn't. So I'd requested time off before Christmas because I actually like that, because it helps me prepare, you know, do things like wrap shit and stuff like that, you know? Right. But, you know, because she doesn't do... I'm the woman that does that kind of stuff in our family. She doesn't really wrap the stuff I do. For the most part. Presents. I do too. But,
I hate.
But, so I'm actually, like I said, other than the tree, I'm officially started Christmas shopping too. I was at Sam's Club and they had this like big thing with like... I think it's got like six of them in it, like six travel mug, like Christmas themed travel mugs, and each one has like a packet of hot chocolate in it. That's the way it came. So I'll take one of those and stick a gift card in it, and wrap that, and give it to my nieces and nephews. So, I'll probably do that for them, and then about the only present I'll probably buy. Might be for my dad. When I give gift cards, I don't like to just give a gift card, you know, like just throw it in the card and say Merry Christmas. You know, that's kind of lame. So I do like to give him at least something little, like, well, thank my dad. I might give him a Texas Roadhouse gift card and then tape it to a box of the Hershey Pot of Gold chocolates, you know, or something like that, because he likes those things. So. But then my niece's son, I'll probably get him like some Hot Wheels or something, because he's in first grade, I think. Yeah, I don't. So I usually get him something too. But my wife's side, we don't buy anything for. We all came to that mutual agreement as a family. So, and unfortunately for Luke, one of my ideas got stolen. at the bowling alley he bowls at now, every week they sell squares for the Buckeye football games. So it's based on the score, you know. Not last week, but the week before. And they do one giveaway every quarter. Okay. Luke won 3 quarters. So guess what he got? 3 bowling balls.
Wow.
So he's got 3 brand new bowling balls. So there goes one of my ideas for him for Christmas. Because some of his were starting to get kind of roughed up, but that happened, and I'm like, and at least one of the balls he got in the giveaway was a $200 bowling ball, so pretty nice ball, but so there goes that idea. But other than maybe buying them a new case, I don't know what to get them bowling wise. Although I showed them some RC cars, nice ones, not the cheap toy ones you buy at like Walmart or something, like the ones where you go to the hobby shop and buy the kit, right. You know, and I don't know, we'll see. Or maybe I can talk them into a Switch if I can find the OLED one. But I don't want to say, if you already have a Switch, unless you're really, really dead set on getting really nice blacks on your Switch, it's probably not worth buying the Switch OLED unless you don't have one. In my opinion, anyway. Anyway, all right. Play us out, man. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. I was just looking at... before we go.
Right.
Slot car racetrack sets.
Oh, yeah.
Holy moly, they're expensive.
They are.
Like $100 or more.
Well, let's see. When you were a kid, did you ever have a hobby shop that had the big one, the big track in it?
There was a place that had that.
I think it's 32nd scale, I think it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those were interesting. Dad had a couple of those cars. But see, when we were kids, we had AFX and everybody else had Tyco. So my dad liked the AFX better. He could actually fix the little cars. HO scale, I think, is those were what those were. But he could actually pull them apart, replace the brushes and stuff, and fix them. I could too, though. I mean, because it's not actually that hard. But all righty then.
Yeah. All right. We'll play us out, and we will see you in a week. Do not forget.
Mm-hmm.
Set the clocks back. Go back Sunday.
Don't forget
about that. Most, there used to be a time when you had to be on top of that. And now it's like, oh shit, I gotta change it. I gotta change it sometime next week on the stove, and maybe in my older car that doesn't have the satellite dish.
Or my microwave up here. Yeah, I have to microwave.
Like everything else just changes automatically now.
Yep.
Except some of those old things. So just be aware.
All right, give me a few minutes.
All right. We'll see you next week, Joel. And take it easy. Here we go. Your promos.
And
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Mmm. Everybody's gone! Except me! Hey. Ay, 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 I should have said this on the show, but why not on the after show? I was very, very, very not disappointed at all with the latest Ubuntu update. It just went through, and it worked perfectly without a problem. Well, it went rather quickly, too. On my laptop here, and so two thumbs up. Really kind of makes me miss the days where an upgrade was a little challenging sometimes. I had to do some tweaking stuff, and you know, the flip side to that is it's been so easy. But at the same time, it's not too drastic of a change anymore. And it looks, you know, just as great and wonderful as it has been looking the past couple of releases. So hats off to Ubuntu. Fedora update yesterday. I didn't upgrade. I just did an update of the packages and stuff. That it's just so easy and really a big contrast to OS X when I have to update that. Is always just a pain in the butt. It seems to take a good 20 minutes or so because it pulls down the update and then you have to restart it and then it just sits there and doing something for such a long period of time and then it restarts again and then you get back in and you've wasted way too much productivity time at work doing that. But that was nothing compared to Xcode. When I went to install that, I realized I had not done that on the new system, which I got back in the summer. So it's replaced. That was a fiasco to install. I tried to do it off of our self-service, which then went to the Apple Store, and it just was not cutting the mustard. It wouldn't run. Well, first off, I'm on Catalina. I guess that's two versions behind. The version on Apple Store would not install on Catalina. So the one off of self-service was always having a problem. And it was a pain. So I went and I had to actually download it off of their archive site. And that was 10 gigs for Xcode. And by the time it downloaded and then I extracted it, and then it took a day to extract. I mean, it took forever. I gave up on it. I came back the next day and I think it was extracted. And then I start up the installation of it. And then I had it the day after that when I finally noticed that it was finished. So it was like 3 days of work to get that damn thing installed. Not fun. I can't recall something that took me 3 days to actually install that ever on Linux. I mean, short of saying like Linux from scratch or messing around with Gentoo, like that's a whole different thing. I mean, I'm just talking about Xcode. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Have a great one. We'll see you in a week. Bye bye.
So could be good for some things. Like it'd probably be fine. Like if I bought one and replaced the Pi Zero W running my D Star stuff, it would probably do fine at that. But not for like what I use for. Heck, I need to upgrade the Pi 3 that I'm using for my Open Media Vault. And I'd like to buy a fatter disk on it so I can get rid of all the little disks hanging on it. Well, not get rid of them, but repurpose them. Make it a little cleaner. Yeah, I like the Raspberry Pi, but I'm more excited about whatever's going to replace the Pi 4.
Yeah, I got a couple.
Just swinging in the breeze.
Here's Dan.
Doing the Cody thing.
Yo, Cody, yeah, rebuilt this laptop too. I put a fresh Kubuntu install on it just because it's been a while, and I really started to like Kubuntu. And I just didn't feel like when I cause the my old install started off as Ubuntu, but I just installed the KDE desktop. Well, there's a little weird thing where the KDE wallet won't recognize things. Like, for example, I had to sign into Chrome every freaking time I log in, which is kind of annoying. So, yeah, fresh install, that kind of got rid of that issue. It's probably one of those things I could have fixed, but I don't want to because I fix servers all freaking day. Last thing I want to do is fix them when I get off work. Although I should set up an Ansible on a few of these laptops I got in here. Because I do need to start working on learning that. And we bought a Christmas tree over the weekend, too.
Can't put it up until after Thanksgiving.
Nope. Man, it's artificial, of course, so. With the fancy lights built into it, too.
Hello.
What's happening?
Howdy.
Where's Joe Balls?
Missing in action.
There we go. Welcome back, Joel.
Good to be back.
Sorry for your loss.
It's one of those things where all it's wanting me to do is take trips more to see family, because I feel bad when you know the only time you meet up with the extended family is when there's a funeral.
Do they live close by you? Like, no, relatively
they're in Roanoke.
Oh, so I mean, That's a trip that's kind of doable. I mean, it's how many hours is Roanoke from you? Five, six?
About five. It's about six. It's about the same as going down to my dad's. Yeah, it's so it's not. It wasn't a horrible drive. I solo missioned it too because my son didn't really know my aunt. Uh-huh. And neither did my mom. My wife Misty met her once 22 years ago. But she's one of those people that, like, in my early part of my life, we all lived close to each other. Like, only my mom's side was a distance away. That's just not the case anymore.
Right. Now, did they move away, further away? Was that it? That's...
Yeah. What had happened was when we were still in... Vandergrift, the first place I ever remember when I was a kid.
Hold on. Where is that?
Sure. Vandergrift, Pennsylvania is kind of near Pittsburgh.
Okay, that's what I was seeing. Is it south of Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay.
South and west. So
yeah. So I kind of know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So in that western Pennsylvania area, we lived in Vandergrift, and my cousins all lived in Avonmore, Pennsylvania, which is all along a river called the Kiskaminidus River.
In the southwestern part of the state too?
Yeah, it's in the southwestern area of Pennsylvania, about 2-3 hours from here. Well, sometime before we moved away from Vandergriff, my uncle decided he wanted to go cheat on my aunt. All right. So she got the kids and they all left and they went to Roanoke and they divorced. So,
is she originally from Roanoke?
No, she's from Pennsylvania. So
what was in Roanoke?
That's a good question. I don't know the whole entire story behind that move down there, but that's just where they moved and been for over 30 years. She, my aunt was a florist. The florist that still exists, and she retired from there.
Hello.
But she was there for 30 years.
Hello.
So, hey, Joe.
How's it going?
All right.
Much better this week.
Yeah, sorry I missed last week. I had to go to a PTA meeting, and I might have to cut out early tonight because sounds like I'm running for school board.
Oh, well, good luck.
Uh-oh.
The startings of my political career.
President Joe.
Could be worse.
Hey, Joel.
Yeah.
Before we get going on the show, I just got to say, and I apologize to anybody who's listening to this, you know, if you got kids, turn it off now. That dill dog, dude, that looked like some dude's dick broke off while he was fucking, man. And they fried it up.
Yum.
Did you shove the whole thing in your mouth, or did you, you know?
Nope.
Put it in slowly.
No, yeah, I posted. I took a bite off of it.
I was like, when I looked at it, because it was
that
on my phone.
Fucking huge, too, man.
It looked huge, and when I looked at it, I'm like, what the hell is that thing sticking out of the tip of it? At the end of the hot dog, like in the hot dog, I'm like, why does it look like it's got something sticking out of the hot dog? It was the stick. When I zoomed in, I saw it was a stick. You didn't see it, Joe?
I did it on MeWe.
Yeah, I might have seen the post.
Yeah,
I know.
I will say it tasted good, but it was a freaking hot mess. I'm telling you that much right now. The pickle is one of those kind of dill pickles that have real tough skin on them.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of hard to bite through it.
Did the coating fall off?
Yeah, that kind of fell off too.
I mean,
nothing was sticking together.
Yeah, I was gonna say it must have been pretty hard to do because I can't like coating sticking on one of those pickles like that.
Right.
It
had a good taste. Would I order it again? Probably not.
I mean, it looked good. I mean, how could you go wrong with a hot dog stuffed in a pickle and then, you know, fried in corn batter? Like,
man.
How could you go wrong? Except for the execution of it.
Right. I think I could figure out a way to improve that, but I don't know how it would taste. I think it would, like, if you took, like, the hot dog before you stuck it in the pickle and, like maybe wrap the hot dog in a piece of cheese or something, and then when the cheese got all melty, it would help keep it together. But like I said, I don't know how that would taste.
So did they cook the hot dog before they did this?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm surprised that the hot dog would get cooked before, you know, it would either get burnt or whatever.
Right. Well, it's just like I've had many kinds of deep fried pickles, and I've seen them where they take like either. I've never seen a deep fried pickle where they took a whole pickle and did it, but I have seen them where like they took like wedges of the pickle, which I don't like them when they're done like that way. I like them when they have like the little slices, you know, like you put it on a hamburger.
Right.
If they batter them and deep fry those, they come out nice. All right. Cause they're easier. They're kind of an easy bite. And, but the wedges, cause that pickle skin can be tough to chew a little bit, That's kind of why I don't like them when they do like the wedge is a pickle, you know, but with deep fried pickles. But, you know, like deep fried pickles, I love those things. They're not good for me, but if I eat them once a year, no big deal.
I like deep fried pickles too. I've never had them where they weren't the slices.
Right. Like,
so that's why I'm like, they're so watery.
Yes.
Yeah. That it seems like on that wedge shape, it might be even hard to keep it on. And Greybeard says hot dogs are cooked at the factory. Yeah, I meant more on the lines of like the hot dog not
warm up the hot dog first.
Cold. And it just seemed for how thick that was and the thinness of the batter.
Dan, are you bragging about your thick hot dog?
Yeah, I am. I'm like, it would.
Well, they say he's the man
that would kill
probably
Rich.
Likes the taste of hot dogs, but because they upset his tummy, he won't eat them.
That would kill
if
Rich.
If it was only upset tummy, that would be okay.
Followed by vomit, huh?
Typically anyway. Both ends.
Oh, that too. Fire in the hole.
Yeah. All right, let me start the show before.
Okay.
Here we go. Before we get too far, this is 9:20. This is 9:29. Yep, I thought it was 9:30, but nope, 9:29. Here we go.